Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oddity News. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second edition of the Oddity News. I am your host, Dave Wirtz, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Bud Light, also known as PC Tunney. We are here to bring the funny, interesting, wacky, and weird in the world of news. Trying to give you a little bit of brightness in these dark times. PC, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, doing okay. Had a nice 4th of July weekend. Fingers are all good. So how about you? Did you set off any fireworks?
I am not a fireworks guy, okay. Unfortunately. I have like an anxiety-riddled dog. I also live across the street from an anxiety-riddled senior living home. So I have quickly fallen out of favor in the fireworks community just because, I don't need to make anyone upset for something that's going to destroy the atmosphere.
I completely understand those things. I never was a huge firework guy. Like, I've had my years where I would do a, but not lately. If you've seen one big firework event, you've seen them all, basically.
Yeah, very, like I said, it's for like a half hour of fun.
Yeah, very un-American of me, but.
Eat a hot dog and you'll be better for it. All right, well, let's get into the news. First up, Tunney, I want you to know that some Boston subway trains have been sporting googly eyes. Subway riders in Boston are playing their own game of Where's Waldo, but instead of searching for a cartoon character with red and white striped top, they're on the lookout for subway trains with googly eye decals attached to the front. The head of transit service said the whimsical decals are attached to a handful of trains and are meant to bring a smile to the riders' faces. Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority General Manager and CEO Philip Ng said a small group of what he described as transit enthusiasts approached the agency with the unusual request to install the eyes on the trains. The group even dropped off a package of plastic googly eyes at the MBTA's headquarters in Boston. Quote, when I saw it, it made me laugh. The MBTA, which oversees the nation's oldest subway system, as well as commuter rail, bus, and ferry service, has come under intense scrutiny in recent years for a series of safety issues that led to a federal review and orders to fix the problem. It has also been plagued by slow zones, the delayed delivery of new vehicles, and understaffing. This is their way of fixing that, apparently, with some googly eyes.
That's interesting. I laughed immediately when I heard the story. I guess is it a budget issue? Well, is all we can afford is these googly eyes, sir.
I don't know if, like, oh, you know how sometimes you paint like the buses blue or like a nice soft tone. This time you just end up putting some Joann Fabrics like craft pieces on it. Like, hey. Maybe the next thing they can do is like attach like a peacock feather to it and really, really make it something to look out for.
They had we have glue guns and 78 cents. How are we going to fix this problem?
Well, and especially because they've only attached it to 5 trains.
Oh, okay.
So it's not even like they're doing that big of a rollout.
Are those 5 trains making progress?
I don't know if it's doing all that well in terms of the city's optics.
Ha ha. I see what you did there. All right, I got a quick hitter for you. Kevin Bacon decided he wanted to find out what life was like not being famous as a normal person, so he used some prosthetics. After decades in Hollywood, the prolific actor has become a household name, but he once decided to try life outside the spotlight. To do this, he used prosthetics and accessories to form a disguise, but he didn't like what happened. I'm not complaining, but I have a face that's pretty recognizable, Bacon explained in a new interview with Vanity Fair. Putting my hat and glasses on is only going to work to a certain extent. To be able to be truly unrecognizable, he said, I went to special effects makeup artist, had consultations, and asked him to make me a prosthetic disguise. With the makeup artist's help, he was given a new nose, new teeth. After adding accessories, he ventured out to the Grove, a popular shopping center in L.A. Quote, nobody recognized me. People were kind of pushing past me, not being nice. Nobody said, I love you. I had to wait in line to, I don't know, buy a fucking coffee or whatever. I was like, this sucks. I want to go back to being famous. As Bacon explained later in the interview, fame was always something he wanted, even as a child. My father was famous in Philly, which in some ways is a small pond, but for me it was a big pond, he explained. I saw him get recognized by people when he would walk down the street, and seeing that was definitely a big driving force in my life. And let me quote once more. Nobody recognized me. People were kind of pushing past me, not being nice. Nobody said, I love you. I had to wait in line to do, I don't know, buy a fucking coffee or whatever. I was like, this sucks. I want to go back to being famous.
I mean, hard to argue that. Once you're there, do you ever want to go back?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't know. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, I mean, what's the furthest you've gone? You know, because I've got like, some wrestling famous, some comedy famous, like people I got recognized at Lou Malnati's the other day, and I was like, oh dear Jesus. So I can only imagine like the idea of like where Kevin Bacon is at. But I don't know. This is just life, Bacon. Deal with it.
It was funny though, because he's almost self-deprecating and going, yeah, you know what? Fuck that. I like being famous. You know, he's honest about it. He's like, yeah, I don't want to wait in line. I don't want people pushing me. You know, I like being praised. At least he's honest about it. He's like, we can't dance. Fuck that.
Oh man. I applaud him for his effort and a half of going to the dark side of the world.
the many degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Jesus. Well, there is a new viral relationship trend, and we are here to tell you about the term boy sober and everything you need to know. Dating trends are always changing and started with mutual friends fixing dates for their friends. However, with the emergence of social media, dating apps, and other mediums, it has become easier to connect with more people. Online dating has become the norm of new age romance, and catchy terms and phrases like fizzling and master dating have taken the internet by storm. Well, Gen Z is currently ruling the dating scenario and relationship scene has taken a new turn. Now, boy sober, a new relationship trend is on the rise among all who are fed up with modern dating. According to The Independent, the term boy sober, first coined by American comedian Hope Woodard, the trend is basically about keeping your 20s untainted by toxic dating habits and roundabout relationships. In their words, it's about removing the fake sense of validation that we get from dating and situationships and sleeping around and refocusing that energy. Well, in simpler words, boy sober is a year-long decision to abstain from all things dating as an act of self-care, including sex. While boy sober can be misconstrued to only pertain to women, in actuality, it is a gender-neutral term, and it encourages all young single people to take a break from not only dating and the situationships resulting from it, but also from exes, toxic relationships, hookups, as well as any other form of relationship contact. Boy Sober Year gives space to reflect, heal, and focus on what wants next. According to Today, Boy Sober is Gen Z's version of sex positivity, and it is preaching the age-old wisdom of the importance of self-love in romantic relationships. Are you boy sober there, PC?
Listen, I don't want to put expectations or limitations on my life right now, but that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, look, it's,
oh, let me tell
it's
you,
either that or you do the exact opposite.
There's been years in
you
my
life. The exact opposite.
There's been random portions. There's been random 365 days that have been strewn together throughout my life where I've been plenty girl sober. Not by choice.
Fair enough. Well, again, boy sober is the neutral term.
Oh, okay.
And the exact opposite of that is the idea of dating or seeking the same type of person over and over again while expecting different results.
That's called groundhogging. No, that's the definition of insanity.
I mean, yes. But groundhogging, which I'm pretty sure is like turtling, in my opinion.
I would say like Barry Keoghan, Saltburn. Did you see Saltburn?
Did we ever?
Yeah, I would call that groundhogging.
Ooh, gross. So there's your new relationship trend.
No, thank you. I think that's what I. I'm gonna stay in like the celebrity genre here, and I got a piece that we're going to talk a little bit about. Stephen Hawking's eerie alien theory might explain why we've never been contacted. Let's read on here. A theory as to why we've heard from why we haven't heard from aliens, which renowned theoretical physicist and cosmologist Stephen Hawking agreed with, has resurfaced online. Planet Earth is about the size of a speck of dust when compared to the whole universe, and the likelihood of there being other intelligent life out there is pretty high, even though it's a scary thought. Scientists and experts have a number of theories as to why this is, but a particular one that Stephen Hawking agreed with has come up again online, getting a lot of people talking. Take a look at our Milky Way galaxy. Some estimates say it has 400 billion stars and possibly trillions of planets. Even if a tiny fraction of those planets have intelligent life, that's still a big number. Small amounts in space terms is a lot. We've been scanning the skies for signals for over 60 years, but it's been radio silent, so to speak. We've been sending out our signals intentionally and unintentionally for over a century, yet no responses, and that's where the paradox comes in. So again, in such a vast universe and galaxy, where the fuck is everyone, says Kalpana Pat, an expert on this, I imagine. Kalpana goes on to share what she describes as the darkest theory out there. There are lots of answers, well, opinions to this question, but there's one that stands out as the darkest, and that's the dark forest hypothesis. It states that there probably is a lot of intelligent life, but they know to stay silent. They could be too afraid to send signals for fear of being discovered by, because maybe there's a damning alien civilization out there that will completely eliminate you. When you look at all life on Earth, at our core, we're just trying to survive and we'll eliminate any threat we perceive. This could be true for all life out there, and if that's the case, we've sent lots of signals. We might have fucked ourselves. This hypothesis could also be projecting. We don't know, but is one that Stephen Hawking agreed with. A number of users also commented on this video as well. Space is also very vast. Trillions could be screaming into the void, and we never hear them. The dark forest theory is kind of unsettling. Isn't it more likely that civilizations are too far apart from each other to ever communicate or travel between? Two more. Life is everywhere in the universe. Everyone is just so far apart and cannot communicate. And lastly, if we only been sending signals for 100 years, they probably haven't traveled far enough yet.
Ah, the great empty void of space. Definitely nothing else out there.
I love the darkest of theories, though, as somebody who just is really into science fiction horror, is the fact that, yeah, by the way, at some point this is going to catch up to us and we're fucked.
Look, we have to be. Something is definitely going to catch up. It's just one of those things, like, there's got to be some type of life form out there. It's just not even a plausible idea that we are the only form of life in an infinite universe. In all fairness, we could just even have people flying over, or aliens flying over and being like, yeah, we're good. Vroom. Onto the next solar system.
Yeah, we're the Jerry Springer of the universe, and they're just like, they're fun to watch at a distance, but you kind of just want to leave them there.
Jerry Springer's too nice.
It's okay.
You gotta lower that a little bit more. It's gotta be like
the Housewives of Atlanta or something, or LA, ooh, or whatever.
Yeah, or like MILF Manor.
Oh jeez, okay. Love Island.
Ooh, yeah, Fire Island.
Is it just one some giant episode of The Bachelor?
Oh, not even like the wholesome one. It's not even the Golden Bachelor. It's just the rough stuff.
Yeah, we're
still
not even
hosted by Chris Hansen.
We're not even the favorite channel throughout the universe. We're just a channel that they're like, every once in a while, it's okay.
Comedy, though. Riddled with comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an acquired taste down here.
All right, PC, I think it's time for us to go into sports, in which I have a bunch of different little quick hits. First up,
sports.
Homer loves sports.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We have a brand new world record holder for the gallon of lemonade chug.
Oh.
Eric Badlands chug has eclipsed his previous record of 23 seconds in downing a lemonade for 21 seconds. He beat it by 2 whole seconds. And if you need to watch an absolutely amazing video, watch Badlands Booker compete in the Queens, New York competition, similar to the Nathan's. It's like one of those pre-show Nathan's hot dog eating contest deals. Eric Badlands Chug absolutely demolishes the competition. A gallon of lemonade in 21 seconds. And if you need any more, the number of people that are vomiting next to him is quite great. It's awesome. If you haven't watched any of Badlands Chug, his YouTube videos are so fun. And he's a legend in the sport.
I think I've actually seen this video where he's standing there and the person right next to him just continuously is expulsing the lemonade and the crowd's kind of going wild. I'm just, you know, it's funny. I'm really not into the eating competitions. I think that Netflix will get some good numbers with that Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut that's coming up, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Labor Day weekend. But yeah, man, I once ate like 8 quarter-pound cheeseburgers at a bar to set a record and went home and went to bed at 4:30 in the afternoon.
I did that once. We used to have a pizza eating competition in high school. And it was at the Pizza Hut, buffet.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, back when they had those. Yeah. So they weren't like normal size pieces. I'm going to say they're probably a little more than half the size. But I definitely wrapped up with a record of 46 in about a 45-minute period.
Wow.
I was bloated, and I took a nice dump afterwards. It was tremendous. I could never do that now.
And knowing is half the battle.
You know all about that dump now.
I am a real American hero for that. Yes. PC, a 58-year-old grandma has qualified to make the Team USA for the upcoming Paris Olympic Games. Grandmother has made Team USA after qualifying for the Olympic Games on last Saturday. Michelle Roll started as a distance runner and later transitioned into competitive race walker, and she is one of the best in the world. Roll competed for Team USA in 92, 96 and 2000. Then she retired from the sport to homeschool her 5 kids, according to People. Now 58, and her first grandchild was born 3 months ago on June 29th. Roll finished the 12.4 mile race in an hour and 42 minutes. That time has earned her 3rd place overall and a spot in the Paris Olympics. Roll previously finished 20th at the 92 Olympics, 14th in 96, and 17th in 2000. People has reported that she still trains every single day and a total of 45 miles each week on an 8-minute-per-mile pace. I've never known anyone who is as mentally tough as her, said Roll's husband to the morning call. She likes to run, she likes to compete, and it's a lifestyle for both of us. It makes her happy, and I'm just happy to be along for the ride. She will be competing in the 20-kilometer race walk event at the Paris Olympics, held on August 1st, and the Olympic website has said the schedule is subject to change. So be prepared, just in case.
I'm not even going to make fun of this story. I think it's pretty cool.
No.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, this is all about the weird. It's not necessarily funny, but 58.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They say, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, you just got to keep it going and keep it together. And that sounds like what she's been. It sounds like that's their life. You know, that's their lifestyle. Like they said, that's what makes them happy. I mean, in my opinion, humans are in love with structure and habit, right? And it's good to have a little bit of change and surprise in there as well. But overall, arcing, it's a really cool thing. And why not have it be a nice trip to Paris as well, too, hey?
I will tell you right now, if you were to line her up, I definitely would not have thought that she was 58. She looks 10 years older, but also, like, insanely fit. So I'll give her that. But you could tell that she is outside a lot.
I was going to say, that's a lot of swimmers and people of that nature, too, that are outdoors. A lot of runners and stuff like that. The weather's on you a lot.
Yeah, sun damage and whatnot.
Sure. I can keep us in the water here with a sport of sailing story if you'd like.
Oh, please do.
All right. Well, the headline reads: New Hampshire team jumps onto out of control boat after sailing instructor falls overboard. There is a video of this. I got this from Fox News. Don't judge me, people. A New Hampshire teen was seen on a video leaping from a jet ski to stop a runaway boat after its sailing instructor was knocked overboard last week. Brady Procon, 17, this kid, jumped into action after his father, Jeremy, told him that an unmanned boat was speeding in circles in Smith's Cove on Lake Winnipesaukee. Famous from What About Bob? They were on Lake Winnipesaukee there. Excellent movie. I was sitting on the porch, and my dad yelled that there was an out-of-control boat in the wake zone. Procorn told the outlet that operator of the boat, which is a part of the local sailing association, is a sailing instructor who was teaching a kid how to sail at the time. The instructor had bent over to reach a tennis ball that is used to teach how to turn when the boat of one of the kids tipped over and the mast struck the instructor's throttle, the outlet reported. This is poorly written, guys, just so you know. I'm not – my reading isn't this bad. The instructor was thrown from the vessel.
You said Fox News.
Yeah, this from the vent of the water. Now they're all from Fox News. We got an excuse. And out of the control boat spun in circles on the lake. Bystanders reportedly helped the kid and the instructor away from the boat. Procon told the outlet that he didn't really think when he jumped onto the back of the neighbor's jet ski and was brought close to the runaway boat. Well, yeah. I'm realizing what I did. I'm a little bit scared, but it was fun. I'd do it again, said the 17-year-old. Lake Winnipesaukee is the largest lake in New Hampshire and famous for What About Bob? I don't know how close I'm getting to, like, how hard that boat is circling and fast it's going. You know, you're one slip away from hitting your head, and you're out, and you're in the water, and you're not rescued. But 17-year-old has this type of courage and agility.
Look at him. He should have qualified for the Paris Olympics.
Yeah. Interesting story. The video is even more interesting, so go ahead, check that out. But probably a nice little save there. Who knows, that boat could have hurt somebody.
Good on the person for videotaping and not actually, like, assisting in any way, shape, or form. You know, could have just, like, went grabbed the boat or, like, stopped it with like your boat, right? I would assume it would sustain some damage, but if it's just spinning in a circle, couldn't have been that bad, right? I don't know. I don't know boats very well.
I'm watching it now. Yeah, it's a pretty tight circle. It's not going super fast, but like I said, you make one wrong move and you're down. Yeah, he has done
well,
an amazing
maneuver. No, for sure,
and
like,
jump.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy what he did.
Definitely, for him to just swim out there, that's super dangerous. I'm saying, like, there's got to be someone else with, like, a pontoon boat that could have just went over there.
He took the jet ski.
Okay.
So you see,
but even still, like a jet ski is not going to stop a boat.
So this is like a probably it looked like a 18 to 20 foot sailboat, smaller sailboat. The sail was not up, and it looked like it also had a small motor in the back, and it was just turning. And it wasn't going very fast, but it was going. And he was trying to gauge where it was going to go. He kept making a couple passes, and then finally he made the last pass, brought his leg over, and leapt into the boat off of the ski jump, moving past. It was pretty impressive.
Well, hot damn. Hot good damn. For him. And thankfully no one was hurt in the efforts of the sailing venture.
Yes. Hey, I think we got a couple more stories. Should we take a quick break, though, before we come back with more?
Sure.
All right. This is The Oddity right here. Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
That's right. Always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. Plenty of great designs, including one coming from this very show. Very, very soon we'll have an announcement on that. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
A Pennsylvania market has been asking the public to name its new tent. An outdoor market in Harrisburg is asking for the public market to choose a name for its new tent.
For a tent?
The Broad Street Market solicited suggestions from the public between May 23rd and June 22nd and has announced five different finalists. Members of the public can vote for their favorite of the finalists by submitting a cash donation in person at Broad Street Market. Voting is open through Saturday, and the winning name will be announced at the July 10th public board meeting. Our top five finalists. We have the Farmer's Phoenix, the Pavilion, Little Broad Street Market, Tent to Table, and the current top vote getter, Tenty McTentface.
Okay, so this is not just a tent. It's a big kind of market-ish area, correct?
It's a white draped tent. Oh, I mean, it's not anything fancy.
So it's a tent. Okay. What if if you put
it's nothing fancy.
I'm okay with what is it? What's the last one?
Tenty McTentface?
Yes, if we put a face on there, maybe some googly eyes.
From Boston,
yeah.
They can drive him down.
What's up? Borrow their glue gun?
Yeah, we all know that's going to be the one to win, right?
Well, for sure.
who doesn't love a good Tenty McTentface or clearly in reference
to
the Bodie McBoatface and the Trainy McTrainface.
What town is this
of Penn? Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Are they a big professional wrestling town?
Ooh, sounds like I need to come up with a new gimmick and head on out there.
I mean, if this so-called tent that needed to be named was in a big-time professional wrestling town, I would say they should call it John Tenta.
Kind of a deep cut.
Yeah, but who else do we do this for but for ourselves and for the people we work with? And it popped you.
Well, I mean... If anything, couldn't you do like just Tenta, like what's his face, GTS guy, New Japan, Kenta.
Kenta.
Yeah.
Kenta.
Who's the GTS dude and from former GTS guy WWE? What the hell is his name? Oh my God, Tony, you're the one that does all these wrestling stuff.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about right now. GTS.
Yeah, Kenta. Who? What the hell was his name? He was the wrestler.
Kenta Kobashi?
Him too, but 2024. What the hell is his name? I'll figure it out. Hideo Itami.
Oh, yeah, not a big fan.
Okay, never mind.
You mistaken me with Andrew Belaz, my friend.
You still should know him.
Yeah, I know him as Kenta. I never fucking remember fucking Hideo Itami was his name over here.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't know. You got me. What can I say?
another blow struck by Tenty McTenface.
Oh, son of a bitch. That flap having son of a bitch. Aesop, I called my mom to come get me. Adults are revealing the strangest rule they had to follow at a friend's house when they were young. There's a bunch of these, you guys, and this is on BuzzFeed, so I'm going to... There's like 20 of them. I'm not going to hit them all, but we'll get the good ones here. I had a friend whose dad was obsessed with the vacuum lines in the house and would vacuum multiple times a day. We weren't allowed to walk on them because it would mess them up, so we had to tiptoe around the edges of the room we wanted to go anywhere in the house. I witnessed him beating the crap out of her for messing up one of the lines. My parents didn't let me go over after that. That one's kind of bleak a little bit, hey?
Yeah, that was terrifying.
I wasn't allowed to throw away any female waste products in the house, a.k.a. I'd have to wrap my tampon or pad and throw it out in the outside trash. I went home. These are kids that are at their friends' houses. Oh, here we go. I stayed at a friend's house one night, and the family communicated exclusively through whispering. Not just hushed voices, but full-on hand-to-ear. It was a serious mindfuck.
What the hell?
No one was allowed to swim in the swimming pool because it was only for decoration. Other than that, they were normal parents.
All right, sure. You know, you can get a bird bath for that.
This rule was enforced for their children, but not their children's friends. Whenever they used the bathroom, their mother made them specify if it was a tinkle or a kerplunk. We were all around 10 years old, not toddlers who needed bathroom supervision. I was always embarrassed for them.
Oh. Yeah, that one's particularly bad, too.
Nobody feels up my wife. They had a plaster casting of his wife's stomach and large breasts from her pregnancy on display in the living room.
Ooh.
That was kind of funny, though. He's like, no one feels up my wife.
It's also creepy that you have that in the living room.
Children could only drink warm Kool-Aid or water. You couldn't put it in the fridge, and you couldn't use ice cubes. It had to be room temperature. Any child who came over had a signed Solo cup with their name and permanent marker. You had to wash and reuse the same Solo cup over and over.
I'm okay with that one.
Yeah, whatever. All right, blankets are only allowed to be used on the bed. I spent the night there only because they had kept their house freezing cold in the middle of winter and had me sleeping on the couch in the basement. I wore my winter coat to bed and used his coat as a blanket. I was 9 or 10, and it was fucking miserable.
I've done that before.
You want one?
I think we've all had those situations where you went to a friend's house. I did that once. I said the word magic. That I could do a magic trick. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I got kicked out of the house for using that word. And I was like, what the fuck? What did I do? Like, yeah, you're never allowed to come back. You said the word magic. That's like a no-no. Oh, okay. Cool. And I never went back to the house.
You and David Blaine both. I'll give you the last one. And finally, I was 11 and spent the weekend at a friend's house. Her mom got us, me, my friend, and her 9-year-old brother, up super early. After breakfast, she told us we had to go outside, and no matter what, we couldn't come back in until 6 p.m. I asked her, what were we supposed to do for 12 hours? She said, have fun. She left a pitcher of water and 3 cups on the porch swing and locked us out. Apparently, they were used to being locked out all day, every Saturday and Sunday, while their mom was in the house alone. I went to her neighbor's house and called my mom to come get me.
That just sounds like the good old days in a little way.
Like, I mean,
right? Go play outside.
Getting them up at 5:30 in the morning and kicking them out of the house at 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. is a little drastic, but I would spend summers with my grandparents, and breakfast was at like 8 o'clock, and at 9 a.m., you were be outside until noon. You weren't to come home until noon till lunch. You go play, go do something else. I mean, if it was raining out, it's something different, but generally that was go outside.
All right, well, I leave you with this final story. A Vancouver woman has found herself in an embarrassing situation at the airport thanks to a rather unique mobile power bank. A woman named Lucia on X recounted her ordeal of having her power bank mistaken. And the unconventional design of the power bank is inspired by Diablo 3's Soul Stone. Security initially flagged her, suspecting a knife. But things took a turn when they followed up by asking if she was carrying a, quote, self-pleasuring device. Lucia, understandably flustered, had no idea what they were referring to until a closer look revealed that the source of the confusion was her Diablo 3 Soulstone power bank. The Soulstone, a spiky cone-shaped item that holds the essence of demons, seems to have raised eyebrows for the security personnel. She wrote on X, "I got stopped at security at the airport and they asked me if I had a knife, which of course I didn't. Then they awkwardly asked me if I had a self-pleasuring device in my backpack, and I was horrified. Turned out it was my BlizzCon exclusive Diablo 3 Soulstone power bank." Post has gone viral on X and gathered a range of reactions from internet users, with a user joking, "The person who asked the question was hoping you would call it a knife so he didn't have to ask the next question." Another user commenting, "Hey, I had a similar incident with this power bank at the airport. They pulled me aside and said, 'What is this? It looks weird.'"
"Come over here. This smells funny."
They do show a picture. It is silicon coated. It looks like a giant tooth, like a stalagmite. So I can understand why I would be confused as such. At the same point, okay.
Do you think those are like the hardest to surprise people in the world, the people that work at TSA?
Yeah.
Like, they see it all.
In more ways than one. I actually just did that at, we go to an Amazon Overstock store every once in a while.
DP and I do, too.
Very fun. Very fun place. But they had a new notification on their registers. It was like, "Ask us about our adult section." And we, of course, asked, and it's like, "Well, it's now just creepy sex toys in there."
I mean, unopened in box, I hope?
Well, I don't know. It could be a returns warehouse.
I want to just perform a PSA for all the listeners of Cheershot Radio Network. I would strongly suggest avoiding used sexual instruments.
A PSA for your PNS. All right. Well,
for your genitals.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this edition of The Oddity. Go ahead, like, subscribe, follow for more weird news each and every week. And send us some of your articles if you got them, because we'll gladly read anything you want us, anything you send to us. Clearly, as we've wrapped up with another edition of The Oddity. So this is Dave Wirtz for PC Tunney and the rest of the Chairshot community. Keep the news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Dumbass.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.